are my strength when I am weak. You are the treasure that I seek. You are my all in all. Seeking you as a precious jewel. Lord, to give up, I'd be a fool. You are my all in all. Rising again, I bless your name. You are my all in all. And when I fall down, you pick me up. When I am dry, you fill my cup. You are my all in all.
Every day is a good day.
Now let me tell you why.
I got a lot to go. miracles over your life. In Jesus' name, in Jesus' name. Let's speak the name of all authority, declaring blessings, every promise He's faithful to keep. I speak the name no grave could ever hold. He is greater, He is stronger, He's the God of possible. I pray for your healing, that circumstances would change. I pray that the fear inside would flee. In Jesus' name, I pray that a breakthrough would happen today. I pray miracles over your life. In Jesus' name, in Jesus' name. Oh, come believe it, come receive it. Receive it in the mighty name of Jesus. All things are possible. Pray for your healing, that circumstances would change. I pray that the fear inside would flee. In Jesus' name, I pray that a breakthrough would happen today. The dead would come to life. In Jesus' name, in Jesus' name. Oh, in Jesus' name.
Mark chapter number 9, beginning in verse number 17. And one of the multitude answered and said, Master, I have brought unto thee my son, which has a dumb spirit. And wheresoever he taketh him, he teareth him, and he foameth and gnasheth with his teeth, and he pineth away. And I spake to thy disciples that they should cast him out, and they could not. He answered him, and he said, O faithless generation, how long shall I be with you? How long shall I suffer you? Bring him unto me. And they brought him unto him, and when he saw him, straightway the spirit tear him, and he fell on the ground, and he wallowed foaming. And he asked his father, How long is it ago since this came unto him? And he said, Of a child. Oftentimes it hath cast him into the fire and into the waters to destroy him. But if thou canst do anything, have compassion on us and help us. Jesus said unto him, If thou canst believe, all things are possible to him that believe. And straightway the father of the child cried out, and he said with tears, Lord, I believe, help thou mine unbelief. When Jesus saw that the people came running together, he rebuked the foul spirit, saying unto him, Thou dumb and deaf spirit, I charge thee to come out of him and enter no more into him. The spirit cried and rent him sore and came out of him, and he was as one dead, insomuch that many said, Is he dead? But Jesus took him by the hand, and he lifted him up, and he arose. And when he was come into the house, his disciples asked him privately, Why could not we cast him out? And he said unto them, This kind can come forth, but nothing but prayer and fasting. Fathers, we ponder this passage of Scripture, this miraculous event, the healing of this man, the casting out of this deaf and dumb spirit that had him bound. We're just in awe of your presence, Jesus, of who you are, of all that you're capable of doing. We're just amazed that there are absolutely no limitations for you. And we know that you get us, you understand us, you comprehend that we hurt. You know that. You hurt with us and you hurt for us. And you understand our pain as you walk through this world. You were in pain as well. And you felt the emotional strain and you felt the physical pain and anguish as well. And you know what it means to love somebody and for somebody to be separated from you. You even knew what it meant to be separated by death. And you wept at the tomb of Lazarus so much that you've gone through, Jesus, so that you could really understand how we feel when we face moments such as these. And I pray today, God, that as we consider our unbelief at times and our struggle with faithfulness, that God, you'll give us what we need this morning. I ask your forgiveness of my sins. I'm unfaithful way more than I should be, God. I don't trust you as much as I should. I don't believe in you, God, but I let the circumstances of life interfere with my relationship, and I ask your forgiveness of that. Help us today, God, that as we look at this passage, we'll get a little something extra, get a little nugget that we can take home with us, God, and strengthen us to be more faithful tomorrow than we are today. We love you, praise you, thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. A couple things real quick before we look at what I want to look at today. One is the fact that he said, this kind goeth not out but by prayer and fasting. The importance of that part of our walk with Christ. When we think about prayer, do we really get what prayer is? Do you understand what prayer is? Are we praying? Are we just blessing our food? And are we just saying a little nighttime prayer before we go to bed? Nothing wrong with that. But we need and must have a prayer life to be spiritually successful in our walk with God. Then he talks about fasting. Have you ever fasted before? I know we've talked about it numerous times in the church. Fasting is an important part of a Christian walk. And if you've never done it, research a little bit. I'd love to talk to you about it a little bit. Fasting is a part of our life, should be a part of our Christian life. He says, when you fast, not if you fast. So we need to do those things and let them be involved in our life. Then the third thing I want to look at before we get into the passage is in verse number 21, and I went back and I underlined it this morning because it has great impact. He said, how long has it been that he's been infected by or possessed by this dumb and deaf spirit? And he said, from a child. We don't really know the age of the young man, but we assume teenager, 20s, we don't know how old he was. But we know that he's been affected by this even from a child. So this father, perhaps a mother as well, has dealt with this the bulk of this young man's life. And it can cause us to think a certain way, right? The situations of life can cause us to begin to think things that we normally wouldn't think. Just a little psychology for you today, a little 101 here in dealing with counseling and talking with people. One of the biggest problems we have, I think, as just people, is that when an event happens to us, whatever that event is, it can be a good event, a bad event, whatever happens to us has an immediate impact on how we think. Yeah, amen. You see something? You experience a car wreck, we're all of a sudden thinking, are they going to be okay? Well, call 911. Or if we see somebody in a good situation, we're celebrating with them. But everything through the course of a day affects us to some degree. And when we see it, when we comprehend it, when we hear it. So what happens is that thought that we have begins to develop. We can't keep every bad thought from coming in our head. I wish we could. Wouldn't that be great? Yeah, amen. Be the greatest thing ever that if anything we thought was a godly thought, but it's not. It's never going to be. Well, we can pray now, and we need to pray that God prevent certain things from coming into my mind. Put that hedge around my mind. But there are going to be certain things that are going to come in because we're going to just see things, we're going to hear things, be exposed to things that are outside of our control. We can't live on an island and be exempt from anything that's negative in our life. So when the thought comes in, what happens is you and I must decide now what we're going to do with that thought. That thought comes in, we decide how it affects us. So how we respond to the thought affects our emotional state immediately. We begin to feel something Now, it can be something good. It can be something bad. We can be afraid. We can be angry. But as soon as the thought comes in and we start to process the thought, we let it affect us emotionally. So then once we're affected emotionally, then that immediately affects our behavior and how we act or how we react or respond to whatever our mind has been stimulated by, right? So that's the reason I wanted to make a big circle right there to come back around to the situation of this dad. Can you imagine what this dad has thought the entire time his kid's growing up? Can you imagine how he feels emotionally the whole time his kid's growing up? Can you imagine how he's acted and reacted, responded the whole time his kid's growing up to be possessed by this deaf and dumb spirit and seemingly no hope, no resolution in sight? I wanted to go to this passage of Scripture because we are where this man was. He said, when he came to Jesus, Jesus said, "Hey, if you believe, anything is possible if you believe." What did the dad say? "Oh, I believe, but man, you got to help my unbelief." Yeah, you ever been there? I mean, have you been in a situation where it seems hopeless? It seems like we don't know where the end's going to come, if there is an end, or if we're going to have to endure the rest of our life. And when we think these things, it affects us emotionally. It immediately affects us in our behavior. And we get caught up in this vicious cycle, and it seems as though there's no end. So what do we got to do? How do we, and people that I talk with, some of you perhaps that have sat with me, how do we break this cycle of this negativity and of these thoughts that affect our emotions, affect our behavior? What do we have to do? Here in a nutshell is the answer, okay? I'm not going to charge you for this counseling session, okay? This is free stuff right here. You got to redirect your thought to something else. You got to put your thoughts on something that is heavenly, something true, something positive, something. We got to change what we're thinking about. So I'm going to give you a few things to consider as we're trying to redirect our thought and not, I don't want us to be dumb to the fact that there is a problem. That's not what I'm trying to do here, is to make light of a terrible situation and act as though it doesn't exist. But what I want us to do in these points is to be proactive in thinking of things that can be helpful and beneficial in us getting through this crazy thing called life. All right, the first one is this. God has not changed. Amen? God has not changed, even though our circumstances have. This man had a boy, had a son that was possessed by this deaf, dumb spirit. And he's talked to no doubt countless doctors. He's probably taken him everywhere he could take him to different. He even took him to the disciples of Jesus, tried to get them to help. Those guys couldn't help do anything. So this guy thought, oh my goodness, there is absolutely no help for us. But what we must understand in the most difficult of situations in life is that God has not changed, nor will God ever change. In Malachi 3:6. "For I am the Lord, and I change not. Therefore, you sons of Jacob are not consumed." God is telling us that He does not change. We're immediately affected by circumstances in our life, correct? Yes, we are. We are. We're immediately affected. But if we could begin to think, you know something, even though my life and my world has changed, that heaven has not changed. That God is still God, the Father still the Father, the Son still at the right hand of the Father, interceding for me and you, and that the Spirit still lives and dwells in me because I believe in Christ as Savior. And so I have those securities and those confidences to know that regardless of the world I'm in or regardless of how I'm affected by it, heaven is still stable and unwavering and unchanging regardless of the situation I'm in. And whatever situation you find yourself in, know that God knew about it before the foundation of the world. The foreknowledge of God. God knows everything. God sees everything, understands everything. God knew that today was going to happen. He knew that we were going to be here today. He knew the events are going to take place. He knew the issues you're facing in life. He knows the decisions that are coming up for you. He knows the struggles that you and I have. These are not surprises in heaven, but he already knew about these things. Heaven is not shaken by the things that happen within our world. It is one thing to be affected by problems and situations in life. We are going to be affected, but it's something else to be controlled by the things that happen in our life. And that's where we got to redirect thought. We got to go back to remembering that God's still God and there's absolutely nothing going to change. Hebrews 13:8, Jesus Christ is the same yesterday and today and forever. I love that. Amen. Hebrews 7:24, but this man, because he continueth ever, hath an unchangeable priesthood. Jesus' priesthood is unchangeable. There's absolutely nothing going to change. Don't you like certain things that are consistent in your life? I do. I mean, don't you love it when there are things that you count on every day to happen, to actually happen? Kind of like on Friday, don't you like that you're expecting that check to come in, and that check does come in? Amen. Paycheck. I mean, don't you like it when things you're expecting to go right, you know, I go out and get in the car and turn the key or push the button and it actually cranks. I love it when it does that because I expect that to happen every day. I think we naturally love and appreciate assurances in life, don't we? With everything, with just the common things. We want things to work the way they're supposed to work, you know. We want to walk into the house and it be cool when it's hot outside. We want the microwave to zap whatever it is and make it smell and taste really good. So these things that are assurances, we love those. But guess what? A microwave can go out today. I pray that yours don't go out, but it could. The car may not crank when you push the button in the morning to get out in it. And you're like some of us, we still maybe have the crank windows, you know, we don't have to worry about it. It's all manual, right? But what we need to do then is concentrate on things that are set, that are sure, that are unshakable. And one is that God is still God regardless of your situation. Start taking stuff to Him. Let's take it to Him first. I'm not knocking the guy for going to the disciples of Jesus because probably they were easier to get an audience with than Jesus, who was surrounded by a mob. But I'm telling you something, it's one thing, it's good for us to go to each other and ask each other to pray for us about our situations. Yeah, we need to do that. But don't forget the fact that we can go straight to heaven and lift all of our prayers up to Him. Second one is this, don't let your past failures define you. Have you ever failed? A lot. We fail a lot, don't we? We failed miserably. We failed God. We failed people that we love. And we look back and I think all of us have a lot of regrets in life, don't we? I think we do. We have a lot of things. And the older I get, it seems like the more regrets that pile up. And it shouldn't be that way. And I hate that it is. But I do. I have a lot of things that I've failed at. A lot of things that I've disappointed people at. I've disappointed God. I've broken the heart of God. And I've sinned against Him. And so we have those things. The key is to not let faults in our life define us as a failure. Just because we have failed before doesn't mean we are a failure. Don't recognize yourself and don't let others just recognize you or identify you with the things you failed at in life. When folks continue to do that, after you've moved on and got forgiveness and cleansing and in a better place, those folks that continue to bring up the past failures have some hang-ups themselves that they're having trouble letting go of. Amen? Amen. Let me read a couple of scripture to you. Psalm 103 and verse number 12. As far as the east is from the west, so far hath He removed our transgressions from us. Why do you say east and west instead of north and south? North and south. They have poles. You can actually get to the point and stop. East and west, you can go, 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 but you never get to the end of it. And he wants us to remember that that's how he feels about our sins. When we're forgiven by him and cleansed, those things are gone and they're not going to be brought up again unto us. Isaiah 43 and verse 25, he says, I am he that blotted out thy transgressions for my own sake and will not remember thy sins. That's pretty good, isn't it? Who is it that calls up our sins back into our lives? Well, the devil's really good at that. But you know who else is really good at remembering our sins? Ourselves, we are, yeah. I'm real good at thinking, well, if God wants to lead me to be a part of a ministry or to be a part of impacting somebody's life or talk to somebody about coming to church or getting saved or whatever it might be or just praying with somebody, we'll always say, oh, well, I'm not worthy to pray with somebody. I'm for sure not worthy to talk to somebody about getting saved or believing in Christ. Who am I to be able to do those kinds of things? And we can let a lot of things in our life, in our past that have been cleansed and forgiven, hinder us from being everything that God wants us to be. Don't live in the past and don't let your past dominate you or control you. Understand that if we've had those things taken care of, they're settled, they're in the past, and move forward in our relationship with Christ. Samson, we know, gave in to the temptation, ended up getting his eyes plugged out. I think we talked about that maybe last week a little bit. So here he is down here in this dungeon. They're making sport of him, you know, and poking him and making fun of him and all those kind of things. And he's down here praying. He's saying, God, if you can, forgive me and just strengthen me this one last time. And he asked the guards to put him up beside two big, massive pillars that basically held the entire Colosseum together. It's kind of ironic in that those two pillars held the entire Colosseum. And when they came down, everybody died inside. But when he got up beside of those and God blessed him with that strength again to be able to push those pillars to the side, the Bible says he killed more Philistines that day in his death than he did the whole time he was alive. Yeah, let me tell you something. We can let our past sins hinder us, or we can understand that God casts them as far as the east is from the west, and we can still be productive for God. God still has a vision and a purpose for us, right, Scotty? Even from the womb, he knew we were going to sin. But he also knew we're going to ask for forgiveness and we're going to plead with him and get cleansed of those things. And he knows he wants to continue to use us if we'll just let him use us. Don't label yourself a failure because you have failed before. But understand, when we're forgiven, we're cleansed and God is not going to hold it against us. And so we can move, therefore, and go forward. Number three, and I like this one too. This is a kind of flip of the coin. Don't let your past success prevent you from doing the right thing. Okay? So we've dealt with our sins situation. Get those things confessed. Get them behind you. Satan starts reminding you of them. You start mulling them over in your mind. What do we need to do? You redirect thought and you go, hey, you know what? I've been forgiven of that, so I'm not going to let that affect me emotionally and affect my behavior. I'm going to continue to do everything I can for God because I've been cleansed and I'm a different person now. So moving forward. But on the other side now, don't let what has happened good in your life cause us to think we're a whole lot better than what we really are. We're still sinners. But we're sinners saved by the grace of God, right? Yeah. The blood of Jesus Christ has been applied. But we must always remember that we need that humility in our life. That's why that God gave Paul the thorn in the flesh, because he wanted to remain humble and have humility in his life. That's how God dealt with that. So we must remember we can get a little bit too big for our britches if we're not careful. You know, one of the hang-ups about eternal security is that we know we're going to go to heaven when we die. Yeah. How's that such a bad thing, preacher? Well, it's a bad thing because it affects our witness. It can. I've got my golden ticket stamped and I'm going, and I know where I'm going whenever God calls me. So until then, life can pretty much be whatever life it needs to be. I'm assured I'm going to heaven, because how do we get to heaven? By being good? By keeping the law? How do we get to heaven? By believing in Jesus Christ as our personal Lord and Savior. period. It's belief. So I can believe in Jesus, but I can do a whole lot of things that don't please Jesus, right? But I can use that salvation experience as a crutch and live a life of disobedience to God. Now, granted, I'm going to be miserable above all men because I've tasted the fruit of the Spirit. I know how good it feels to be saved. I know how good obedience feels when I'm right with God and right with Him and doing what He's calling me to do. But I still can make that choice to be disobedient to God. So don't get in the situation where we feel like because I am saved, I really don't have to worry about anything else or anybody else. King Uzziah thought because he's the king and he had seen a lot of success in his reign as king, killed a lot of enemies, conquered a lot of land, and he was very successful. So he decided one day, you know what, because I'm the king, I pretty much, nobody can stand against me. I'm going to go into the house of God. You know what I'm going to do? I'm going to go in there and burn some incense just because I'm the king and I can do it. That's the mentality we got to avoid. We can't let past success cause us to think that we're excluded from certain things. So he went into the house of God, started to burn incense. The priest came and met him at the door and he said, "What are you doing?" He said, "I'm burning incense." They said, "You're not supposed to do that. It's a job for us, the Levites, the priests. It's our responsibility to maintain the house of God. You're not supposed to be here doing this." He went ahead and did it anyway. You know what happened? God struck him with leprosy, and he lived the rest of his days outside of the city, a leper, until he died alone. Don't let past successes hinder us from being who it is that we need to do it, prevent us from being fully and completely obedient in our relationship to God. And then the final thought is this. We know that heaven is still heaven. We know that God's still God, Jesus still Jesus, Spirit's still the Spirit. We know that we don't need to let our past failures define us. We know we don't need to let past successes prevent us. So what do we do, and how do we redirect this thought? What is the steps to make? It's just to move. It's to move from the moment we're in closer to Jesus Christ. Luke 9:62. Jesus said unto him, "No man having put his hand to the plow and looking back is fit for the kingdom of God." Don't stay still. Don't stay where you're at. Move. Move forward with God. Move with the direction of God. Move with the vision of God. Move with the purpose of God that He's given you and what He has for you in your life. Don't compare ourselves to others or we'll stay defeated forever. Or we might think a whole lot more of ourselves than we should. One way or other, we're going to fail and we're going to be miserable. But listen to the Spirit of God. Focus on the vision He has for us and move. Matthew 28:18 and the first part of verse number 19. Jesus came and He spake unto them saying, "All power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Go ye therefore." And that's what we need to be reminded of. That if we're being directed by the Spirit of God, we can move, we can go, we can do great things if we're honoring the Spirit and obeying the Spirit of God. Don't let this struggle of faith hinder us and cause us to remain in this terrible pit, miry clay that we find ourselves in. We can truly make a difference. Get sins confessed. Get our hearts clean and pure and pray for the vision and pray for the direction that God has for us. And He will give it and it will be right. We will please Him by our obedience and we will be blessed also as we obey God. Stand with me this morning as we get ready for invitation.